From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin. In a few minutes, a member of KERA's Class of 17 helps an exchange student from China settle in. And a look back at the Dallas gangster who moved to Vegas and created the World Series of Poker. First, closing arguments wrapped up today on the second lawsuit challenging new abortion restrictions in Texas. Opponents want U.S. District Judge Lee Yackel to get rid of the requirement that abortions can only be offered at surgical centers. That rule would take effect September 1st. Stephanie Tody represents the plaintiffs.
There is a disparate impact on women in rural parts of the state. Those women simply aren't going to have access to abortion.
State Representative Brian Hughes, a Republican from northeastern Texas, hopes Judge Yackel will side with the state.
I think it's been made clear that these regulations make sense. They're to protect women's health and women's safety.
While he hasn't issued a ruling yet, the judge did talk about the surgical center requirement. He said that in no other situation would the state of Texas pass a similar requirement for anyone being treated for minor medical procedures. The first day of school is a week and a half away, and 20 new students are already settling in at the International Leadership of Texas, a Garland charter school. They just arrived from China. Each kid will get a student mentor. As Stella Chavez reports, one member of KERA's class of 17 will be paired with a Chinese girl.
Erin Chow is 17 and arrived a few days ago from Shanghai. It's her first time in the U.S. and the first time away from her parents. Her goal while she studies in Texas?
To be more independent.
Right now, though, she's a little bit anxious about the first day of school.
I'm nervous that I must listen to the teacher, they speak English. I'm afraid I can't understand all of her words. But I think it's my challenge to get it.
Erin is one of 20 Chinese students living in the newly built on-campus complex in Garland. Each three-bedroom apartment houses six students with bunk beds and a shared living area and kitchen. They'll eat breakfast and lunch at the school with their classmates. For dinner, though, there's a special treat.
We cater in from a local Chinese restaurant. So the thought is to have the kids, you know, have a home-cooked, healthy meal every night. So to stave off the homesickness, you know, because food is very important.
That's Carrie Hutchinson with International Leadership of Texas. The public charter school opened last year and has campuses in Arlington and Keller. The Chinese students are from the sister school and will live on the Garland campus, where more than 500 students are enrolled for the fall. She says American and Chinese kids attending school together will have lasting repercussions.
Us older adults, we have our set prejudice and we have our set way of thinking. But in order for these young adults to be able to experience different cultures and different friendships and relationships at a younger age, it would just open so many different possibilities for them in the future.
Some of the school's current students have been assigned to their Chinese peers to help them make the transition to their new school and home. One of them is Class of 17 student Alex Gutierrez.
I chose to be a student mentor because I want that student to feel comfortable with me, and I want that student to know that they can ask me anything.
Alex, who's going into the 10th grade, says she plans to help her Chinese partner with advice, finding a classroom, homework, and translating. All the kids at IL Texas learn English, Spanish, and Chinese. Alex expects to get more out of it than just language help.
I think I will learn from them many things, their culture, traditions, and maybe a little bit about their life.
One of the Chinese 10th graders, Sam Wong, just met his student mentor, and they do have some differences.
That's a really, really cool boy, but he likes soccer, not like me, like basketball.
So maybe you can teach him basketball and he can teach you soccer.
Yeah, that's great.
And they'll have plenty of time to learn from each other. Both Sam and Erin say they hope to stay all the way through high school graduation. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
KERA's Class of 17 is part of the nationwide American Graduate Initiative. You can catch up with the other Class of 17 kids at education.kera.org. For the first time this election season, some candidates are accepting bitcoins as campaign donations. During his unsuccessful bid for the U.S. Senate, Texas Congressman Steve Stockman was among the first to say he'd accept the virtual money, which is not backed by the FDIC and is traded without using banks. Currently, Republican candidate for Governor Greg Abbott is accepting Bitcoin donations in addition to hard, cold currency. Republican consultant Mac Makowiak says it's a way for Abbott to appeal to libertarian voters who are often mistrustful of the federal banking system.
My guess is it's more of a trial run, more of a test run, but if he is going to be, messaging to libertarian and Tea Party communities, which I'm sure he will in the general election to some extent, it's a great way to try to earn financial support from those communities.
The Federal Election Commission formally approved Bitcoin donations for national and congressional candidates in May. The Texas Ethics Commission says they're acceptable for statewide candidates like Abbott as long as the contributions come from permissible donors who properly disclose their gifts. Politics is just one area where Bitcoin's becoming big. The August issue of Texas Monthly features a story about how the state's embracing the currency. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked to Lauren Steffi, who wrote the story about our growing fascination with Bitcoin.
It kind of speaks to our nature, to our history. We're a frontier state, and we like being on the cutting edge of things. You know, there's a strong libertarian undercurrent in Texas, and that definitely feeds into the Bitcoin mindset, the idea that you're stepping outside of the established monetary systems, outside of the government-controlled monetary systems. But at the same time, Texas also is very much at the forefront of the tech world in a lot of ways, and we've become a very attractive state for a number of tech startups, and Bitcoin is one of the hottest things going in the tech world right now.
That Hour of Think re-airs tonight at 9. The World Series of Poker in Las Vegas has whittled down its field from more than 6,000 players to the final table. Today on Think, Chris Boyd spoke with the author of a new book about the Dallas man who created the tournament that's now poker's signature event. Here's KERA's Gus Contreras.
The World Series of Poker was founded in 1970 by gambling magnate Benny Binion at the Horseshoe Casino he owned in Las Vegas. The event started out with just a few players playing a variety of games and wasn't even really a tournament.
They didn't even have a poker table at the time. They had to move some other equipment out of the way and let these guys play.
That's Doug Swanson, a Dallas Morning News reporter whose new book is Blood Aces, The Wild Ride of Benny Binion, the Texas cowboy who created Vegas poker. To Binion, the upstart event was little more than a marketing tool for his casino.
These were some of the biggest names in poker, but you have to remember then poker was illegal just about everywhere except in Nevada. He did it as a stunt, just to bring in some people, maybe let them lose some money at the casino.
The winner-take-all format was implemented the following year, and from there, it took off.
Every year it grew a little bit. A few more players, a little bit more money. TV networks started getting interested, like Wide World of Sports and CBS Sports Spectacular, and it grew and grew and grew until it became this monster that you see today on ESPN.
The World Series of Poker includes more than 60 satellite events, and this year's winner walks away with a cool $10 million. For KERA News, I'm Gus Contreras.
Doug Swanson talks about his book tonight at 7 at Highland Park United Methodist Church. Think re-airs tonight at 9 or listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. Overnight low, about 70. Warmer tomorrow, high in the mid to upper 90s. Same thing on Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. We're probably back in the 100s again, 94 in Dallas, 95 in Fort Worth. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin.